Our first reading for this Reformation Sunday is from the book of Revelation in the 14th verse. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is from Paul's letter to the saints at Rome, chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. And now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justified of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel for this Reformation Day is from St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a privilege we have to gather together today on this Reformation Sunday. We're here to celebrate the Reformation of the Church, which next year we'll celebrate the 500th anniversary of in 2017. It's good that we should ponder on this day what it was all about. As the battle cry of the French Revolution was liberty, equality, and fraternity, the battle cry of the Reformation, usually stated in Latin, was sola gratia, grace alone, sola fides, faith alone, sola scriptura, scripture alone. And those are glorious words indeed. But as the French dishonored their battle cry with Napoleon and his minions, so we in many cases have dishonored ours. Today, as we look around the world of Lutheranism, it's obvious that those glorious words of our Reformation are no longer the standard for Lutherans all around the world. So let's examine these three solas of the Reformation and see if they are still, and I pray they are, our battle cry. Sola gratia, by grace alone. Romans 3:24 says, and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Justified freely by his grace through Jesus Christ. Think about Paul's saying here, freely by his grace as a gift of God. We don't earn gifts. My wife celebrated, and I along with her, her 90th birthday last weekend. We had 120 people there to celebrate her birthday with us. 52 of them were our direct descendants. And she got many gifts. In fact, I don't even think she's opened them all yet. But gifts are not earned. You might say, well, she earned it by living 90 years. Well, that was God's work, not hers, was it? No, we don't earn gifts. They're given to us. In the apology to the Augsburg Confession, we read these words. And by the way, we're not apologizing in that sense. We're just simply stating what we believe. But read this. Someone might say in this connection that though we do not merit the forgiveness of sins, those who are already justified do merit grace by observing these traditions. To this, Paul replies that Christ would be an agent of sins if he were to believe that that after justification, we are not accounted righteous for his sake, but must first merit this by our own observances. We never merit the grace of God. This is Grace Lutheran Church. I guess we all should know that. Grace means the power of God, that power that allows us to do what he wants us to do and to become what he wants us to become. Grace comes directly to us from God's mercy. It is power. It's God's power, not ours. Sola gratia, by grace alone. But you say, of course we know that. We're Lutherans. Sadly, it's just not true. A recent survey found that 63% of the Lutherans, and I hope this was a survey of all people who called themselves Lutheran, not just the Missouri Synod, but in that survey, 63% of the Lutherans answered the questions as if they had to work their way into heaven by doing things here on earth. What's happening to Lutherans? On a larger scale, what's happening to Christianity in the world today? What one thing separates Christianity from all other religions that have ever existed or ever will exist? What one thing separates Christianity? The fact that Christianity is the only religion that teaches that God did everything necessary for us to go to heaven. We don't have to do anything to get to heaven. We simply have to believe, and that's not our own work. It's God's work to make us believe. What does this say about modern Christians who claim a Reformation heritage, not necessarily in the Lutheran church, but in any church that claims a Reformation heritage? The second sola is sola fides, by faith alone. Our salvation, as I say, is a gift of God, sola gratia, and the gift God gives, which provides our salvation, is faith. Romans 3:27. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. Paul states this principle even clearer in Ephesians when he says, for by grace you have been, get the past tense there, for by grace, the power of God, you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest no one should boast. We're saved by faith, not by works. It's a mystery to me how anyone can miss the clear meaning of those words. In Article 4 of the Augsburg Confession, we read, it is also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace for Christ's sake through faith. When we believe that Christ suffered for us and that for his sake our sin is forgiven and righteousness and eternal life are given to us. Gifts. Again, I've got to ask, are we surrendering this sola even in our own church? In my travels around the country, when I worked with the seminary and with the Lutheran Bible Society, I saw a lot of Lutheran churches where synergism is rampant. Now, for those that I'm throwing out a big word, synergism means in order to be saved, you and God work together. God does most of it. Christ did most of it when he died on the cross. But there's still that little bit you have to do, or you won't get into heaven. That's what we mean by synergism. I went to a Lutheran teachers conference in Austin, Texas, while I was working at the seminary. I had an ulterior motive. I was looking for prospects for the ministry. And you find them often among young male teachers. So I'm down there at the teachers conference. And I went by one of the booths that I think this was a church from Houston that had a big sign up above their booth that said, "If you wish to be saved, invite Jesus into your heart." I was horrified to see that at a Lutheran congregation, at a Lutheran convocation. How could they possibly put that sign up there? And I had quite a discussion with the woman working the booth. And she, too, was kind of horrified when she realized what she was saying, that in order to be saved, you have to do something. Tell me this. Do you think anybody who doesn't believe in God and Jesus Christ is going to stand up and invite Jesus into their heart? Come on, give me a break. That's not going to happen. If you have Jesus in your heart, it's because he was put there by the Holy Spirit, not by your invitation. In fact, in my case, I think the Holy Spirit had to cram him in pretty hard because I was trying to keep him out. I hope that wasn't true with you, but it was with me, and so it was a tough job, but you know, he can do anything he wants to do. Another instance, and I won't badger you with all these because I could go on all day, but one other, I listened in horror as a pastor gave a children's sermon saying, "If you want to get to heaven, kids, you must do this." I don't remember what it was. It didn't matter. My brain turned off after "you must." How can you instill in those little children a thought that they have to work somehow to get into heaven? We are not synergists. Sola fides, by faith alone. We are saved as a gift, sola gratia, through faith, sola fides, and that brings us to the final sola. And this is the one that really, really matters. Sola scriptura. How is our salvation accomplished? Through God's word, and only through God's word. We talk about the means of grace. God's word comes to us in a variety of ways. It probably came to most of you in your baptism. God's word was there, and that was the power, not the water, but God's word. It comes to us when we read his word. It comes to us when I preach his word. It comes to us in a beautiful, wonderful way when we receive his true body and blood at this altar. How can we possibly believe that Scripture is not entirely honest? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, the Word of God, is our only authority. John 8 says, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in me, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But there's a condition. If you abide in my word, if you stay in my word, then you are truly my disciples. The foundation of the Reformation was the authority of the Bible. Just as a difference of opinion as to the authority of Scripture tore the church apart 500 years ago, so it is still doing today. Christians today can be put in two distinct groups. Oh, sure, I could put in 500 different groups, but let's just take two. And these are the ones that matter. Those who accept the authority of Scripture and those who don't. And that's what matters. And as the old saying goes, never the twain shall meet. Because if you believe Scripture, any part of it, not just the New Testament, which some people try to claim, not just the Old Testament, as others try to claim, if you believe Scripture, all of it is God's Word, you're in one group. If you believe any part of Scripture is not God's Word, you're on the way to perdition. Because it's a slippery slope, and you'll slide down it. As the old saying goes, never the twain shall meet. Lutherans today who still accept the authority of Scripture are closer in theology to the Southern Baptist than we are to the larger Lutheran church, who have departed entirely from the Word of God. And that's a very sad thing. I'm sure most of you, like me, were at one time a member of that other Lutheran church or one of the bodies. I was in the ALC. I was married in an ALC church. Have you heard about the Jesus Seminar? I hope not, but I'm forced to tell you about it. It was an organization by Robert Funk. He was a Reformed theologian, I think, probably a Presbyterian. Oh, they wouldn't claim him, I don't think. Did Jesus really say, here's what it is. They put this Jesus Seminar together and they had four colors, red, pink, gray, and black, for everything in the Bible that Jesus said. Red meant that he probably said it. Not certainly, but probably said it. Pink meant, well, it's not too likely, but he might have said it. Gray meant that, well, I don't think he did say it. And black means he did not say it at all. Every saying of Jesus in their Bible was put together in those colors. Funk says, I even hate to read this, but let me quote it. It's exactly what he says. Jesus was probably a homeless, drifting sage who ate and drank freely, was not celibate, and challenged the religious customs of his day. Is that the Jesus you know? It's certainly not the one I know. It gets worse. Dr. Leif Vage, who is a Lutheran in the ELCA, he was a member of this Jesus seminar. And here's his quote. Again, I'm quoting, I'm not putting words in his mouth. Jesus was very likely a party animal, somewhat shiftless and disrespectful of the Sixth Commandment. In case you've forgotten your catechism, the Sixth Commandment has to do with adultery. What do you and I and our church have in common with these so-called Bible scholars? Well, obviously, certainly for me, and I hope for all of you listening to me today, we have nothing in common with them. We would not accept them as fellow Christians because they're not Christians. How could a man who claims to be a theologian come to such a sad state of affairs? It starts the same way the first sin started in Eden. What did the devil say to Eve? Did God really say that you can't do this or that you must not eat this fruit, whatever it might be? Did God really say that? Not accepting the authority of God's word, we got into trouble. We must understand that either the Bible, all of it, is God's word or none of it is. There is no middle ground. Luther put it this way, da ist kein Mittel. There is no middle ground. You are either one or you are the other. Matthew 12 says, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, this is Jesus speaking. I don't know in their text, it's probably in black, but in ours it might be red. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Do you realize by that one sentence Jesus is saying the Old Testament, all of it is God's word. It's not false. If you have faith today, remember you received it through the word. You can't give up the word and still keep Jesus because the two are one. Jesus made it very clear that the Old Testament is God's word in these words from John. Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, and by the way, when he says, if you believe Moses, he means the first five books of the Bible. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, if you do not believe the first five books of the Bible, starting with Genesis, if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? And the answer is, you won't. Not forever. You might try to, but you won't. See how they're intertwined? See how you can't have one without the other? Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, is our authority. Dear Christian friends, we are here to remember the Reformation. Perhaps what we need in this time is a new Reformation, or at least a reaffirmation of the old one. Let us today reaffirm the battle cry of the Reformation. Sola gratia, sola fides, sola scriptura. Let us pledge ourselves, our lives, and all that we have, and our own sacred honor, as our forefathers did, to the preservation of these three great truths which are daily being assaulted both from outside and inside the church. May God grant us the wisdom and courage to do so. Amen.